This Week in Agriculture, a production of the Red River Farm Network. With your look at the markets, I'm Tyler Donaldson. USDA officials are projecting stronger beef prices in 2026, despite tight supplies, as the agency released its January outlook for the cattle market. This is World Agricultural Outlook Board Chairman Mark Jekanowski.
For 2025, we raised our beef production forecast by 50 million pounds, just reflecting continued higher cattle weights, which are more than offsetting lower placements. And we expect those higher weights to carry into the current calendar year, into 2026, more than offsetting lower placements.
Argentina's corn crop is under pressure as planting hits 91.7% complete. The Buenos Aires Grain Exchange reports pollination is underway at 35% nationally and nearly 70% for early planted corn, but dry weather has cut good to excellent ratings to 64%, down 11 points from last week. Brazil's 2026 soybean crop is shaping up for record levels, though estimates differ. Some analysts see production topping 180 million metric tons, while Brazil's national supply company trimmed their forecast to 176 million. In Argentina, soybean conditions slipped to 61% good to excellent, with poor ratings rising to 4%. Recent dryness is stressing crops, with just over 40% flowering and only 5% setting pods. Two U.S. senators are urging President Donald Trump to secure favorable trade provisions for American pulse crops in ongoing negotiations with India. North Dakota Senator Kevin Cramer and Montana Senator Steve Daines highlighted that North Dakota and Montana lead U.S. production of pulse crops like peas, lentils, chickpeas, and dried beans. At the same time, India is the world's largest consumer, accounting for roughly 27% of global demand. The letter comes as the U.S. and India work to finalize a bilateral trade agreement. Canola markets are getting a big boost from Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney's successful trade trip to China. China has agreed to lower tariffs on canola from 84% to 15% by March 1st. In return, Canada will dramatically reduce the tariffs on Chinese electric vehicles. The latest USDA WASDE report shows strong domestic sugar production, but flat demand is adding pressure to already strained sugar markets. According to the American Sugar Alliance Director of Economics and Policy Analysis, Dr. Rob Johansson.
We've got a pretty good crop this year. It's almost record. So good domestic production, both in cane and beet land. Import numbers move around a lot for sugar, depending on demand. And right now, the demand estimates are what everybody's looking at. We're seeing consumer demand sort of move around quite a bit over the last couple of years. So it's hard to get a good trend on that. Didn't make a lot of changes in their estimates from last month in terms of demand. It's pretty flat demand right now, to be honest. That's another reason why we're having a difficult time with having high levels of production as well as high levels of imports.
The threat of New World screwworm has renewed at the end of the week, with Texas Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller saying the pest will inevitably reach the United States. Combined with a three-day weekend, the news sent cattle futures south on Friday. March feeder cattle dropped more than $8, and April live cattle futures lost $4.45 per hundredweight. Since December 30th, 11 cases have been confirmed in a Mexican state that is on the U.S. border. U.S. ag export sales are sending mixed signals. USDA reports show corn export commitments have dropped to a marketing year low, even as new crop sales continue to run ahead of last year. Soybeans are telling a different story, with stronger weekly shipments and steady buying from China, Mexico, and other key markets. Analysts say the split underscores ongoing uncertainty in global demand as stiff competition and price sensitivity shape trade flows. For corn growers, boosting overseas demand will be critical, but the export pace remains well below what's needed to support prices. It's been a look at the markets this week in agriculture for the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson.
With a look at this week in the news, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network. During the Ag Country Farm Credit Services Ag Focus Conference, geopolitical specialist Jacob Shapiro encouraging farmers to focus on more than just the headlines.
For instance, Greenland, that's not going to have a huge amount of impact on American farmers. Venezuela, not going to have a huge deal on American farmers. The significant uptick in attacks on ships in the Black Sea, that could have a huge impact on American farmers, because the last time we saw attacks at this level, that was shortly after the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and everybody listening knows what happens to those commodities that came out of the Black Sea, like wheat and corn and sunflower. I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen, but as we've been focused on all these other things, you've seen a meaningful increase in aggression in the Black Sea, and that is something that I'm watching very closely here over the next couple of months.
Year-round E15 remains stalled on Capitol Hill, but Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says the push for permanent approval is far from over. Grassley says negotiations continue as lawmakers try to overcome objections from small refinery interests.
For 6 years, by presidential waiver, we've had E15 year-round nationwide. Now, I've told the shortcomings of that is, until you get it in law, you aren't going to get the investment for all the retailers to put it up with some certainty that it's going to be forever. But I never, until we start passing a law making it permanent, I don't hear from small refineries. So it's kind of frustrating to me from that standpoint that it's still a small refinery problem.
North Dakota Senator John Hovind says uncertainty around refinery waivers remains that key obstacle.
I think the biggest holdup right now is finishing up the small refinery waiver. Some people say, well, that's covered, but I know that it's still a bit of football going back and forth. I think that may be what's holding it up, but there should be a way to cover that. Make sure that the oil industry is support API, American Petroleum Industry is supportive. And if that's the last hurdle, then we've got to, put that together. But we do need to get it done.
There have been years when sugar beet growers were insulated from the struggles in the farm economy. That's not the case this year. With high input costs and lower sugar prices, Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Association Executive Director Harrison Weber.
Similar to all commodities, sugar's seen substantial decrease in the price that we're receiving. We've seen some real pain in the countryside with all our co-ops. And real uncertainty, and I'd say a lot of nervousness by growers. And so, but we're working hard in D.C. to come up with some solutions. Just might take a little time. And unfortunately, there might be some guys out there that don't have that luxury of time. And so we're really emphasizing to Congress, we need to get something done and get some relief out here in the countryside right now.
Speaking at the first ever International Sugar Beet and Dry Bean Expo in Grand Forks, Minnesota's Ag Commissioner Tom Peterson says the conversations focused on financial stress facing specialty crop producers, including sugar beet and dry bean growers.
The seed costs, fertilizer costs, land rent, so how many years can you sustain that? And so that's, to me, a real concern as we move forward. So we look for those opportunities, whether it's trade. And trade is a big thing right now, especially for edible beans. We're looking for those markets. The UK is a big market for us. For the, sugar beet pulp, too, is something we don't talk about enough. But I mentioned my talk. The last ship that went out of the harbor in Duluth this year was sugar beet pellets going to Ireland to feed cattle. The more we can keep doing things like that. So we got to keep working on those markets and see what we can do.
Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota preparing to run for governor after Governor Tim Walz announced he will not seek a third term following fraud scandal. Klobuchar filing paperwork to become a candidate and is expected to make a formal announcement soon. That's a look at This Week in the News. I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network. With a look at the weather this week in agriculture, I'm Jamie Dickerman. Sub-zero temperatures continue to be the story for much of the Northern Plains. EnDon Director Daryl Richeson says that trend is likely to continue through February.
Well, of course, we've been way colder than this hundreds of times in the past, so it's really not all that unusual for the time of year. But it will remain, cold of different levels really through Monday. Then we'll gradually warm up. And as we get into February, I think we'll get back to where we were in late December, early January, with temperatures getting well above average again. So warm air is coming, North Dakota, Minnesota. It gets cold at this time of year.
Despite the bitter cold, snowfall has been limited across much of the region. Nutrien principal atmospheric scientist Eric Snodgrass says lingering La Nina impacts are keeping major snowmakers at bay, raising concerns about long-term moisture deficits.
Big problem is we're still getting the lingering effects of the La Nina. Now, that La Nina is fading and fading quickly, but what it does is it tends to give us more jet stream flow that comes out of the northwest, which means we're seeing clipper systems rather than these big lows that can create blizzard conditions, more often and then dump a lot more snow. So we tend to get these blasts of colder air. We tend to get, snow coming out of the northwest. We're going to have to start focusing on when do spring rains or late season winter storms start to revive some of our soil moisture deficits and overall precipitation deficits.
Nutrient Ag Solutions Senior Atmospheric Scientist Andrew Pritchard said there's a good chance for a quick turnaround from current La Nina conditions into neutral and even a return to El Nino conditions by as early as late spring.
We're expected to move quickly towards neutral this spring and then eventually El Nino, potentially as early as the late spring into the summer. We're already starting to see the trade winds begin to shift into a much more El Nino-esque pattern in background state here. And when we change up those ocean temperature patterns, we change up the jet stream, the way it's behaving over the Pacific, and then, of course, the way that downstream it's going to impact us here in North America.
The bitter cold weather also has an impact on our animals. NDSU Extension Livestock Systems Specialist Carl Hoppe says to take some extra time to make sure your cattle are cared for during this cold spell.
Cold weather is always tough on our livestock. The main thing you got to look, though, is to make sure there's adequate bedding and windbreak protection, and then, of course, keep your waters from being frozen. And then after that, an adequate amount of feed for your cows, and they can withstand a lot of cold weather.
Having feed readily available is very important for regulating cattle temperatures.
You know, the thing that we tend to forget about is that cattle are ruminant animals, and that rumen creates fermentation when they ingest the feed. And the heat of fermentation that occurs from the microbes fermenting the feed puts off a lot of heat, even to the point where I've had people make the comment, it's like having a heater self-built into the animal to keep them warm. That's why it's important to keep feed and feed in front of our cattle on cold weather days. Main issue of this whole thing is make sure there's feed in front of the cattle and let them get out of the wind.
South American crops facing a mix of relief and stress as scattered rains hit some regions while other areas stay hot and dry. World Weather Incorporated reporting that northern and central areas are seeing beneficial showers, helping drier fields, but much of southern Brazil and Paraguay remain dry, allowing field work to advance. Temperatures mostly warm to hot, with some areas reaching near 100 degrees, putting stress on crops where soil moisture is short. Dryness continues to challenge southwestern and southern regions, and more areas could face moisture shortages later this week before rainfall returns. In Argentina, dry and hot conditions are increasing crop stress, though rain expected later in the week should improve soil moisture in some regions. Overall, scattered rain is helping some crops, but hot, dry conditions persisting across key production zones. That's a look at this week in weather. I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.